And here is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday. It's the 8th of October, 2011. It was on this day, 1956, the Yankees pitcher Don Larsen pitched a perfect game in the World Series, faced 27 batters, not one made it to first base. It is still the only perfect World Series game in history, one of only 20 perfect games in baseball history. According to Larsen, he didn't even know he would be pitching until he got to the ballpark. He'd had a disastrous game in Game 2 against the Dodgers, lasted only 2 innings, allowed 4 runs on 4 walks. The Yankees had been up 6-0 when Larsen took the mound in Game 2, and they ended up losing 13-8. So he was astonished when he came to the ballpark for Game 5 to find that the manager had tucked a baseball in his spikes. It's the birthday of the poet and author Blake Morrison, born in Skipton, North Yorkshire, England, 1950, author of the memoir And When Did You Last See Your Father? The birthday of the Goosebumps author Robert Lawrence Stein, 1943, Bexley, Ohio, R.L. Stein. The science fiction author Frank Herbert, Tacoma, Washington, 1920, best known for his masterpiece Dune, which was rejected by 20 publishers before it was finally brought out by Chilton, a publisher who had been best known for publishing auto repair manuals. It's the birthday of the poet Philip Booth, born Hanover, New Hampshire, 1925, lives in the house where 5 generations of his family had lived before him. It's the birthday of the historian of the sinking of the Titanic, Walter Lord, 1917, in Baltimore. The book was A Night to Remember. It was a bestseller when it came out in 1955. And the novelist and short story writer Brett Lott, 1958, in Los Angeles, author of 7 novels, including Ancient Highway, and a couple of memoirs, Fathers, Sons, and Brothers, and Before We Get Started, a practical memoir of the writer's life. Here's a poem for today by Charles Douthat entitled Mrs. Miller. And to the south lived dear old Mrs. Miller, the first next-door neighbor I really knew, a doctor's widow, white-streaked, yellow hair, with a nervous New York way of talking, though she'd lived out west for 20 years. A grown daughter, Dorothy, lived with her, worked somewhere, drove a red sports car. Fruit trees grew behind their gabled house, and a crunching path of white crushed stone ended at a Japanese-style fish pond. I was tall enough then to climb the bamboo fence and pull oranges from the tree that overhung their pond. What fruit I couldn't reach fell. In January, you'd see lazy, blurred goldfish tailing beneath navels, floating on the pond. Saturdays, I'd wash Mrs. Miller's Buick with a bucket, soap, and sponge. The 15 cents she paid was good money in 61. Later, on the lanai, she'd pour my Coke, wave away her cigarette smoke, and engage me in grown-up conversation. Since nothing ever goes according to plan, she'd say, you'd think we'd figure out the plan. I was at most 11. She was a drunk, I suppose, confused, but open-hearted, lonely, of course, the first person like me I'd known. Mrs. Miller, a poem by Charles Douthat from Blue for Oceans, published by NHR Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can follow them on Twitter at Poetry Found. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses use email marketing with social media to reach more customers in more places, online at constantcontact.com. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.